Warning. On this podcast, we take the cases seriously, but not ourselves.
Although, we may attempt to lighten the mood at times.
Our episodes contain graphic descriptions that some listeners may find disturbing. Listener discretion is advised. When we were kids, it was really normal to just go for sleepovers. Whereas now, it seems more of an issue for people. I hear more about parents kind of going, I would never let my child have a sleepover in someone else's house.
I ain't heard that.
Oh, I have. A lot of parents are more protective. I'm not saying they're wrong. I don't know how I'd feel letting my kid go for a sleepover.
Yeah, like, so when we were kids growing up, your parents wanted to just palm you off
yes.
and have a night off.
Yeah. Didn't matter whose house you were in.
Yeah.
Fuck off.
But now, I think it's with parents, they're like, I didn't even want my child, let alone having six other little bastards stay in the night.
No. No. What I'm saying is parents will be quicker to allow the sleepover to happen at their house rather than allow their kid stay in someone's home when they don't really know who they are. The safety of their kids, I'm talking about.
There's fucking paedophiles everywhere.
Yeah, there is. But I'm when I first heard that people were like, oh, sleepovers are no go, I was like, oh, it seems a bit over the top. But then when I actually thought about it, It's very reasonable to be wary of it.
Yeah.
Letting your child stay in, you know, pretty much a stranger's house.
I don't know. My parents couldn't wait to get me out of the house.
Yeah. I mean, it wasn't a thing when I was younger. It was just, can I stay over at Sarah's house? Yeah. All right.
Yeah. My parents didn't even speak to the other parents.
Do you want to know what happened to me once?
Okay.
So I was out in the shticks in my auntie's house. I was staying there for a few days.
Yeah.
My parents weren't there, but I was staying with her, right? And my cousin was friends with this kid, and they came over to the house, and his friend had an older sister about my age. And we were, you know, getting on, having a laugh. My auntie pawned me off to these strangers and I slept the night. This is out in the sticks. They lived on a farm. No one was there to hear me scream. Had something happened.
Could have been like an Ed Gein family.
Here's the thing, Neil. I didn't want to go. I said to my auntie, I actually don't feel comfortable with it. I don't know them that well.
Yeah.
I was like, I actually don't want to go.
Ah, they're fine.
Yes. Yeah, no, I was told, you'll be fine. But give me a ring, you know, if you're uncomfortable, or you don't want to stay. So I'm in these fucking strangers. Like, I got on with the daughter, but she's a stranger. I don't know her. Met her that day.
She could have been a right little weirdo.
Oh, they kind of were because they were from out down the streets.
Yeah.
You know what I mean? I got on with her and all, but it, you know, yeah.
Your auntie wants fucking locking up.
That's not right, is it?
No.
Yeah.
And nothing happened to you? You were...
No, I don't even know if I ever told my mum about that. I'm sure I must have done. Either way, it didn't seem to be a big deal. But that was people I didn't know and essentially being forced to stay in their house. But it was seen as like not a big deal.
I don't think I ever stopped at someone's house who I didn't know.
Sorry, I don't even think my cousin was staying over. I think it was me with them.
Yeah.
What the hell did I do that she wanted me out of that house so bad?
Yeah, as a kid, I didn't. Well, because you were a little shit. That's why.
Apparently, yeah.
Yeah, as a kid, I don't think I stayed in anyone's house. As an adult, definitely. You'd like.
Oh, you never had sleepovers?
No, I did. I mean, with someone I didn't know.
Oh, okay. Oh, you're talking about after the sesh.
Yeah.
Mm.
You'd go out around town. You'd probably leave town at about, I don't know, 3 a.m. or whatever.
Mm.
And then, yeah, you'd end up at someone's house and sometimes you didn't know them. It was just, oh, there's an house party. We're going.
Mm.
I'd wake up there the next day.
Yeah.
All my mates are fucked off. They've gone. And yeah.
Do you remember that time we were doing a house share with someone you knew?
Yes. I know what you're going to say.
You had gone to work.
I was livid.
And so had he.
Yeah.
I was in the house. On my own.
Yeah.
Allegedly.
Yeah.
And then I found out that there was a man asleep in the house.
Yeah.
In another room.
Right. So the person we were doing the house share with.
Oh, sorry. Sorry. He didn't leave. Before he left for work, he said to me, oh, by the way, so-and-so is asleep in that room. And I went, what?
Yeah.
He goes, all right, see you later. I'm off to work. And I'm like,
Yeah. So basically, the person we were doing the house share with, we'll call him Ed Gein. And I worked with him at the time. And yeah, Megan rang me and she went, there's some fella in the fucking house. And I went, what? And she went, yeah, Ed Gein told me before he left that a mate of his is staying in one of the other bedrooms.
Mm.
He spent the night. So now it's just me and him in this house. Like, he's still in there now. And so I think, didn't I say, get your mum to come and pick you up?
Yeah, my mum was coming over that day. And I rang her and I was like, I know you're meant to be coming out, like, you know, whatever time it was, say 12. I said, can you, like, when you're ready, can you come down? Because I am not comfortable. By the way, that house was out in the sticks as well.
Yeah.
So again, no one to hear me scream.
Yeah.
And when you said it to him, you're like, why the fuck? Because you were in Dublin. You were like other side of Dublin. This was like out in the sticks. You were in town.
People talk about me, you know, I do make some stupid comments and stuff like that. But I felt like I was the smart one when I was talking to him. He came up to my work van and, oh no, I rang him. That was it. I'd got him on loudspeaker in the van.
Mm.
And I said, yo, what the fuck is, who's this fucking geezer in house?
And you remember what he said?
And he went, oh, don't worry, it's a mate. And
No. The specific words, because I'll never forget it.
What?
It's all right. He's one of the lads.
Oh, yeah, he's one of the lads. That's it. And I went, one of the lads, is he?
Which
lad? And I went, but who is he? And he went, he's one of the lads. And I went, and I asked him, it must have been about 8 times, and he just kept saying, oh, no, it's all right, he's one of the lads. And I went, say one of the lads one more time, and I'm coming.
Yeah.
I went fucking mental down the phone at him.
This is what really annoyed me, because I was like, I don't know this man. I'm in a house essentially in the middle of nowhere.
Yeah.
But this house was isolated. When it was nighttime, you ever look outside and you think it's dark out, but there's still streetlights. No. Pitch black.
Yeah.
Where we were.
You've got to think to someone out there, Ted Bundy was one of the lads. Jeffrey Dahmer was one of the lads.
Well, this is it.
Ed Gein, no, he didn't really have any
mates. No.
John Wayne Gacy was one of the lads.
One of the biggest lads.
You know? It's all right. It's one of the lads.
What
does that mean?
Why do people keep trying to kill me off via sleepover?
You know, and he was there like, I've known him years. I don't. Yeah. Megan doesn't.
Yeah.
Like, what the fuck?
I left him in the house as well. Like once my mum was there and we were going out together, I literally left. I didn't give a fuck. I was like, he can have whatever he wants in that house. I'm not going to be here.
One of the lads.
I don't give a fuck. Yeah, that was something that, like.
Who is he? Where does he live? Like.
You. Neil.
Has he got a record?
I was.
Is he on the register?
I was so quiet moving around that house because I was like, I don't want to wake this guy. I don't, you know, I don't even see him or anything. I was like, Now, the person we're sharing the house with did have a German Shepherd. So I would have been quick to go out to that dog.
Daft as a brush him.
Yeah, but he could still knock you down. He was a big foot. He was like goofy.
Yeah.
He jumped on you, he'd send you flying.
Yeah. It was one of them dogs. He just didn't grow up. He was,
no.
You know,
he was still young.
He was
at
like
the time.
He was like nearly the size of a fully grown German Shepherd. But then he still had one ear bent like a fucking pup, tongue hanging out of his gob, just galloping about.
Do you remember when we introduced him and Ty?
Yes.
And the dog was happy to see Ty. Ty was there hissing. It's like, what are you going to do?
Yeah.
But yeah. No. Just piecing that together. Two very different points in my life, but it's apparently become a theme that people are trying to snuff me out through sleepovers. What is this? What's happening? Whether I'm being sent elsewhere or they're bringing them into my home.
Yeah. I've made some good mates through that, though. You know?
What? Bring strange men to the house?
Well, no, I was the strange man.
Oh.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, I've made some good mates.
Talking about the house parties now.
Yeah.
Yeah.
You know, you just wake up and on a sofa or a floor.
Yeah.
Something, and you just wake up and it's like, I have no idea where I am. And then you go downstairs and there'll be someone there who's been out the same length of time as you, fresh as a daisy.
Yes.
Going, do you want breakfast? And it's like, why am I dying and you're okay?
Mm.
Do you want a bacon sarnie?
I've been that person before.
Fuck that. So, we have some shout outs.
We do indeed. First up, we have BP, aka Boiling Point.
A.K.A. Blood Pressure.
A.K.A. Bear Paw.
A.K.A. Biopsy.
Ooh. A.K.A. Business Plan.
A.K.A. Bills Payable.
A.K.A. Bottom Plug.
A.K.A. British Petroleum. Now, you're looking a bit stunned. British Petroleum is BP. It's the BP petrol station.
Right. Right, you ready now? Big finish.
Okay.
A.K.A. Big Pervert.
A.K.A. Big Prick.
He has got big prick energy. I can sense it from him.
What?
Big prick energy.
Oh, like he is a prick.
Well, you know when people say like big dick energy?
Yeah.
No, he's got big prick energy.
Right.
Yeah, right. Now, next we have Jamie. Not to be confused with Jamie Lee Curtis.
Say hello, Jamie Lee.
You made sure to shoehorn that one into there, didn't you? You had to. You couldn't leave it. I've always liked that name.
Well, when I was at school, anyone called Jamie was Jammy Bastard. So, Jammy Bastard.
Jammy Bastard.
Yeah.
I was going a different way with it. I was trying to, you know...
Jammy Dodger.
I was trying to make it a bit more pretentious and go with Jamais.
Jamais.
Jamais. Remember that show?
Lapel, Jamais.
Je m'appelle.
Yeah, that's the one.
That's the one. Not your lapel.
No, I think Jammy Bastard.
Jammy Bastard.
Right, for I don't know if that translates to American. If you're jammy, everything falls at your feet. Like, you know.
You fall arse first into things.
Yeah. Mm. You're a jammy bastard. You know, that's the only way you can explain it, really.
She's the jammiest of the mortals.
Jammy mortal.
Jammy mortal.
Yeah. So thank you, Big Prick and Jammy Bastard.
We appreciate you. And as always, if you guys want to help the pod, but you don't want to commit to Patreon, please consider leaving us a rating or review. It really does help us out. And we appreciate you.
So. What have you got for us today?
You threw me off there. Usually you say, with that out of the way.
What?
I feel like you usually say, so with that out of the way, what have you got for us today?
I think I've said that once.
Oh. I felt like the sentence was very short.
Oh.
I felt it was very abrupt.
No,
You're being abrupt with me right now.
No, I always go, so what you got for us today?
Oh. Must have got the wrong end of the stick then.
Yeah.
First time for everything.
Yeah.
Today, we're going to be talking about the murder of Brian Egg.
Egg?
Yes, Egg.
Okay.
Yeah.
Not going to take the piss, he's a victim.
Yeah.
Okay.
I knew you'd really struggle with that one.
Was he bald?
No.
Okay.
65-year-old Brian Egg lived in the South of Market or Soma neighborhood of San Francisco with his dog, Lucky. He purchased his home in Soma in 1976, and having lived there for over 40 years, Brian was a fixture of the neighbourhood. Whether he be seen out for a stroll with Lucky, or out watering the plants in the neighbourhood, you'd be sure to see him from one day to another. He cared about the community, and wanted it to be a nice place for all. He was seen as a quiet man, eccentric at times perhaps, but always kind and always friendly.
How can you be quiet and eccentric?
Day to day, he kind of went about his business. You know, he'd wave, say hi, whatever. But he definitely had a few quirks here and there.
He went a bit loopy at times.
Well, one thing was, you know, he wasn't into technology. He didn't even have a phone or anything. It doesn't necessarily mean anything. Maybe just wasn't into technology.
Hmm.
But it is kind of unusual. This was in 2018, we're talking.
Probably couldn't get his head around it.
Well, you know what I mean? It might just be he's not bothered with it. Like, but it is more unusual.
My father, he surprises me because he does get on with technology. He sends me emojis, like, correctly as well. Your dad, he's very good with technology for his age.
For his age?
Yeah.
Actually, it's his birthday today.
Is it?
Yeah.
Oh.
Not the day this episode's releasing, but...
Yeah.
Yeah. So it's not really relevant, actually. To be fair, though, you know, the fact that Brian was seen as, you know, just a kind, lovely person, again, in this day and age, might be seen as a bit eccentric.
That was poetic.
Was it?
No.
I was going to say, it didn't sound it. But you get what I mean. If it's someone on the street who's, you know, overly friendly. Yeah, I wouldn't say overly friendly, but you know what I mean.
Yeah, like, yeah. The ones what get me, I don't care how fucking quiet they are or loud, the ones who walk around with a smile on their face,
grinning
24/7,
like a fool.
What are you fucking smiling at?
Yeah. No, like, that bothers me too.
Stop it.
Yeah. Brian was said to have been an incredibly generous person. The type that if he was out and saw something that he thought you might like, he'd just get it for you. And his giving nature didn't stop at spontaneously gifting items to his neighbours. Brian would also attend local homeless shelters. He would talk to the people there and get to know them. Sometimes he would even offer them a place to stay within his home.
Canal.
Well, this is just me speculating, but possibly due to it being said that Brian had gone through some hard times himself. In the 70s and 80s, Brian worked in the very well-known gay bar, The Stud. When he lost his job there in the late 80s or early 90s, it was said that Brian reacted quite negatively to this.
Now, they didn't pull a muscle fucking coming up with the name of that bar, did they?
I kind of love it. It's like, does what it says in the tin. Now, take with a pinch of salt, because it seems to be a case of people having heard this story rather than witnessing or being told by Brian themselves. But it was said that after he lost his job, Brian entered the bar and smashed bottles and destroyed property.
You can't be doing that.
After this, the story goes that he drove his car onto the Bay Bridge and abandoned it there, as if to make it look like he had jumped from the bridge. As a result, it was said that Brian was arrested.
Mr. Egg
was arrested.
Hmm.
I'm not quite sure for what. I assume wasting police time, possibly.
Do you think the copper went up to him and went, what's your name? Brian. Brian what? Brian Egg.
Don't act the fool with me.
Yeah, if they were like, are you taking the piss?
Possibly. Now, whether this is true or how much of it is true, I do not know. The current owner of the bar, Honey Mahogany, was unaware of this ever having happened, but did state that there have been several changes in ownership since then. But by all accounts, it does seem quite out of character for Brian. And you know, if it is true, it sounds like maybe he was having a breakdown or something. He was going through something at the time. Either way, to my knowledge, Brian didn't work a job after this, and instead led a more quiet, frugal life, making his generosity all the more impactful.
Brian Egg and Honey Mahogany, you're taking the piss.
Honey Mahogany is a drag artist.
Oh, okay, that makes sense then. Okay. I thought you're winding me up here. Is this a fucking April Fool's? Are we recording early for April Fool's or something? But she's taking the piss out of me, yeah.
I'm going to tell you now, before we go further,
There
is a man I'm going to talk about, one of Brian's neighbours.
Yeah.
His name is Scott Free.
No, it's not.
Yeah. Scott Free.
Right. Okay.
Just because I can feel it, you're going to end up exploding with all these names at some point.
Is Scott Free the killer?
No.
Okay, it doesn't be ironic.
It doesn't get that ridiculous.
Okay.
And, you know, that would be too much to take. Yeah.
Okay.
Now, the last time that neighbours had seen Brian was in late May or early June of 2018 while he was out walking with Lucky. Concerned by the lack of presence, they attempted to phone Brian, but would always end up getting his answering machine. Now, this was odd as Brian hadn't previously owned an answering machine.
Hmm.
And like I mentioned to you earlier, Brian didn't really like or seem to have a need for most technological items. It was said that he didn't even own a computer or, as I said to you, more surprisingly in 2018, didn't even own a mobile phone. The recorded message on the machine said that Brian was on vacation, but no one knew who the voice speaking on the machine belonged to. In June or July, his brother Devin made a phone call to the home. He said that a man answered and gave the name Nate. This Nate told Devin that Brian was just out walking Lucky and that he would be home soon and he would get Brian to call him back. But the call back never came.
Of course.
By the 2nd of August, those in the area had really grown concerned as to Brian's whereabouts. Using the app Nextdoor, his neighbours began to discuss, where is Brian and has something happened to him?
Is that like the equivalent of like the Facebook community group?
I think it's like that WhatsApp. Kind of, yeah, like you can be like, Sheila number 12's a right bitch, sick of her.
Yeah.
Or bring your bins in.
Yeah.
I think it's one of those kind of
whose
things.
Whose dog shit on the path.
Yes.
And they haven't picked it up.
Yeah.
Yeah. I have a question.
Or maybe something nicer, like they're organising a party. It might be the more positive side. I don't fucking know.
Just speaking of dog shit and picking it up, this question has baffled me for years. So it's essentially, it's not a crime to leave dog shit on the floor, is it? Or is it?
Crime sounds a bit severe.
Yeah.
But I think it's...
You can get fined and...
Yeah, it's classed as littering, I believe.
Who picks up guide dog shit?
I think they're exempt. Maybe the dogs are trained to be like, put their paw there and be like, there, that's where it is. They guide them to it.
It's baffled me for years. Like all these in the Facebook groups going, ah, look at this. And it's just a picture of dog shit. And it's like, yeah, but it could have been a blind person.
I don't understand that shit.
No, it does my nothing.
But why are you posting a picture of shit?
Yeah.
Can't you just say, right, so if it's a community, a neighborhood thing or whatever, can't you just say, stop letting your dog shite on the main street or whatever?
Yeah.
Why do I need to see a picture of a lump of shite? Do you know what I mean? I believe you that a dog shit there. Why
do I know but your dog at corn?
And the thing that really annoys me is fucking Brendan 23. Yeah. If you went onto her camera roll, it's just full of dog shit.
Yeah.
Because if you're that, you know, bothered by it.
I think they go out looking for shit.
That's what I'm talking about. You can tell they're on a mission.
Yeah. I don't think they've just walked out of the house and seen shit. I think they're like, right, I'm going to find shit today.
No, their phone is covered in shit. So back to Brian.
Egg.
Mr. Egg. Around this time, a neighbour phoned the police to request a welfare check. When they arrived at the home, a man answered the door and told the police that Brian was on holiday. The officers were content with this explanation and took no further action.
What?
Mm-hmm.
Not, who are you?
You'd think.
Can you show me some ID?
You would think. See, their logic was kind of like, you know, someone answered the door, but it's like, but Brian hasn't been seen. Can't it be a case of when Brian gets back, give us a date or a rough date and get him to contact us?
Do you know another question I'd have asked? Where's Lucky?
That is a question I have.
What?
That is a question that I do have.
Oh. Oh, we still don't know where Lucky is.
No, I couldn't find anything about Lucky. So
The bastards.
Although police may have been happy with this unknown man's justifications, Brian's friends and neighbours were not. They requested additional welfare checks, but not just because there was no sight of Brian, but due to the multiple unknown men who they kept seeing coming and going from his home.
Oh.
Police did conduct 3 checks in total, but said that they either didn't find anything suspicious, or that when they knocked, there was no answer at the door. Well, that's all right then, let's pack up and go home.
Yeah.
What the fuck? On the 7th of August, after having no communication with Brian for weeks, his sister filed a report, and Brian was officially reported missing. Just a week later, on the 14th of August, a neighbour witnessed something that, had they not been suspicious before, they sure were now. The neighbour reported seeing a van parked up and a man just sort of lurking around the property. The van parked up belonged to a company called Aftermath Services. And Aftermath Services is, in their own words, a biohazard and trauma scene cleaning company. Basically, a crime scene cleanup crew.
But there's no crime. Allegedly, at this point, there's no crime.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah. Shit. So it's like a private company.
Yeah. At least in America, I believe they usually are. You don't get any help with that. You have to pay for the cleanup yourself.
What?
Yeah. Yeah.
Fucking hell. You imagine if your missus has just been murdered and then you get footed with a bill.
Yeah.
That's outrageous.
On the cost of it, you'd probably be better off just ripping up carpet and shit and putting new down.
Yeah.
Move. The cost of it, yeah.
Move house. Fucking hell. I didn't know that. Come on, America.
Neighbours said that they could smell the chemicals from out on the street, as well as witnessing soapy water seeping out onto the path from underneath the door. So they were scrubbing the place down.
Wait, hang on. So the privatised companies in America. So does that mean the police don't have to be involved? Like, so say if we lived in America, you snuffed it, and say you died of natural causes, but let's say
spontaneous combustion.
Let's say you fell downstairs.
Yeah.
And I didn't ring the police.
Mm-hmm.
And I just rang this company and went, my missus just fell downstairs. Her brains are up the wall.
Okay. I was going to say, they're not going to get rid of the body for you.
So I mean, her brains went up the wall.
Mm-hmm.
Body's gone. But how about you just come over here and give it a quick clean? Surely they would ring the police and go, do you know about this?
Yeah, look, I don't know. I would assume a company offering these kind of services, even if it's privatized, they would still have to have some form of paperwork or confirmation.
Yeah.
So I don't know what happened here. I don't even know if that is the case. I would just assume.
Hmm.
I don't know. It all seems very off to me, but this whole case is very off.
Yeah.
Now, after witnessing the crime scene cleanup crew, the property, a neighbour calls 911 and police arrive on scene. The man who is present at the home is arrested, and police also now obtain a search warrant for the property. The search will go on for 4 days in total. When they initially entered the home, there was no sign of Brian, but there was an almighty bang of chemicals from the cleanup, as well as another odour wafting through the residence.
Decomp.
Exactly. But still, on the first day, they found nothing. On the second day, they brought in cadaver dogs who were able to pick up the scent of decay and guide them in the right direction, which was towards, quote, a concealed part of the home. This concealed area was a small room, and the reason they hadn't spotted it straight off the bat was because the doorway had been obscured by a picture.
Fucking hell. How big's the picture?
Well, this is what I wasn't quite sure. That's the wording they used, was a picture.
Picture goes down to the floor.
I assumed like a massive poster.
Hmm.
Or maybe a big canvas.
Yeah, but... Right.
Brian wasn't art, so he could have had canvases hanging around.
Yeah.
You know?
Okay.
Detective Neil's on the case.
No, it's just...
I'm on the same page as you.
If I walked into an house, yeah, and I went upstairs and they were just... I don't care if it's a fucking picture in a frame, a canvas, a poster, and if it's all the way down to the floor, I would look at it and go, that looks dodgy. That looks off.
Yeah.
What's that?
Well, you're
hiding?
At least going to move it to look behind. It's just, you're going to. You don't necessarily think you're going to find a body behind it.
Why didn't the cleanup crew move that?
Well,
tell you what, that would be a good thing. You know, like how everyone's like obsessed with like Dexter.
Yeah.
Imagine you owned one of these cleanup crews and then you're a serial killer. So you just knock people off and then just go around and clean it.
Yeah, but again, you're forgetting the police element of it. This case is the exception rather than the rule.
Oh, okay.
Now, Inside this concealed room, they find a 6-foot fish tank with a sawhorse laid across the top of the tank. Submerged within the tank was human remains. Human remains which had been horrifically mutilated.
With a saw, I'm guessing. If it's got a sawhorse in it.
The medical examiner's office said, quote, "It appeared that the subject was decapitated and both hands were not with the remains. The subject's legs also appeared severed, but the feet were found in the fish tank inside socks. As the subject was being manipulated and pulled out of the tank, apparent biological tissue was dislodging from the bones."
See, the bit I don't get with this is he didn't have a...
No.
It's not like he were minted, like he'd got a nice little nest egg.
Mm-hmm.
Egg. For retirement or whatever. It was essentially like a fella living on the pension over here.
Yeah.
This is
he was 65, but remember, Brian was incredibly generous and welcoming and opened his home to people who needed it.
Hmm.
It seems clear that's a case of people taking advantage of his good nature.
Took it a bit too far, though.
Just a tad, yes.
Fucking hell.
Outside of the home in the yard, bone fragments were found within a planter. The remains of this decomposing body had been left in a chemical solution with bleach, detergent, odour eliminator and empty bottles of Drano found within the room, presumably in an attempt to dissolve the remains.
Mm. That odour eliminator doesn't do fuck all.
It just stinks.
I've never found one that works.
No. I'm not big into odour eliminators or air fresheners or any of that.
Oh, no, I love a bit of Febreze.
Do you? Yeah, you do, yeah.
I do like a bit of Febreze. Yeah. I don't go mad with it. It'll be just, you know, spray the curtains, sofa.
No, I get that every once in a while because you're not going to wash your curtains that frequently. So I get like a little freshen up.
I don't think I've ever washed a pair of curtains.
Never?
I don't think so. Who's got time for that?
I'm a bit lazy now, but to me it's once a year. Once a year, take them down.
Never. Oh. Once they're up, they're up. And then, and if they start looking haggard, then they come down, off to the bin, put a new pair up.
Do you know what pisses me off about that?
Yeah.
They
smell lovely, though.
Right, so but before you were with me, right, before I was there to wash your curtains for you.
Yeah.
You had a cat. So the cat was brushing against all the time, leaving fluff all over it. So it's not like your curtains were fucking immaculate and they didn't need a clean. You're just a dirty bastard.
Well, no, I'd wipe the hairs off.
Right. I like how you say wipe, not like brush them off. Wipe as if you got your sleeve and kind of half-arsed.
No, lint roller.
Ah, that doesn't do fuck all, though.
They fucking do.
When the pet hairs are bet onto like a curtain or something, we're not talking about a few loose ones on your top.
No, you put your hand against one side of the curtain.
Yes, I'm familiar with holding.
You roll. Yeah. With the other, yeah. On the other side of the curtain.
Is that how it works? The lint rollers, is it?
Yeah.
Thank you for that. I actually was a bit confused until now. During the autopsy, DNA testing confirmed that the body found did belong to Brian. His death was determined to have been the result of, quote, unspecified homicidal violence with blunt force trauma.
Blunt?
Blunt.
They cut him up.
That's after the fact, though.
Oh, okay.
Now, we mentioned that neighbours had seen men coming and going from the home in the time since Brian had been missing.
Mm.
Well, these men were 52-year-old Robert McCaffrey and 39-year-old Lance Silva. Both Robert and Lance were arrested. Robert was the man arrested at Brian's property, and Lance was apprehended at a motel on 6th Street with Brian's debit card in his possession.
Idiot. Right, two things, real quick. Isn't that your man from fucking Karate Kid? Weren't he called that? Or am I fabricating that? Silver.
This is Silva.
Silver?
No, Silver, your man's name, wasn't it?
I've no idea. Your man with ponytail.
It wasn't Lance, was it?
I don't know.
I know who you're on about. I love that guy. He's so, like, smug.
Yeah.
He's brilliant.
Terry.
Terry.
Terry Silver.
Yeah.
And Right. I'm going to make a guess at the connection here. The stud.
Well, Brian hasn't worked there for decades.
It was enough for you to mention. Is it a connection to the stud?
No. Oh. Not that I'm aware of.
Okay.
Both men were arrested on suspicion of homicide, identity theft, fraud, and elder abuse.
Elder abuse? Are you taking the piss?
On suspicion of.
Only suspicion?
Yeah.
Of elder abuse?
Mm-hmm.
Is that what you call cutting up?
But also homicide.
Oh, okay. No, don't laugh. I didn't hear homicide.
Yeah.
I heard the elder abuse and I zoned in on that.
You flipped out.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Like they're taking the piss.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Look at the elder abuse as a good, not a good thing, Jesus Christ, but it's an additional thing that you wouldn't necessarily see them get charged with.
Right.
You know what I mean? So the identity theft and fraud. On the 1st of June in Newark, Lance had impersonated and used Brian's bank card to purchase a 2007 BMW 750 for $5,500.
What a piss take.
Yeah. When the owner of the dealership was shown a photo of Brian, you know, just to confirm, he didn't recognize him. But when they whipped out a mugshot of Lance, he was like, yeah, that's more like him. That's what he said. He was like, that's more like him.
Right.
Mm.
I've never heard that before. You know, it's usually, well, I don't know what it usually is, but I've never heard of someone getting killed and the killer's just gone off with a bank card and bought a car.
There's some bollocks on this lad.
Fucking prick energy.
Big prick. Right. Honestly, fucking Lance. During an interview with police, Lance admitted to driving the car, but said that he did not purchase it. He said that it had already been parked up at Brian's home. But after the car was towed on the 15th of June, Lance was the one captured on surveillance cameras paying for the retrieval of the car. I'm sure with Brian's money.
Yeah.
But still. Also, the cleanup crew? Yeah, they paid for that with Brian's card as well.
Oh, I thought they were part of the cleanup crew.
No.
Oh, right.
These were the unknown men seen coming and going from the home.
Right. Sorry, I thought it was all the same.
It's all the same. It's all the same. Now, not long after their arrest, in fact, more or less immediately after, the district attorney made the decision not to pursue charges against Robert or Lance, as there was not sufficient evidence and further investigation was needed. Robert was released, but Lance remained in custody due to violating the conditions of his parole from his previous conviction for grand theft. In 2015, Lance was charged with grand theft after he was reported to have embezzled from his employees' retirement accounts.
He was a bit of a lad then.
Oh yeah, $43,380 to be exact. And I say his employees, it was Daddy's company, and Lance was made president after his father's death.
See, stuff like that, though, it makes sense. But this, it doesn't. Brian wouldn't have had anything.
No. The money that they were spending was probably pretty much Brian's life savings.
Yeah.
You know?
Fucking hell.
On the 24th of April, 2019, Lance was released. One of Brian's friends and neighbours, Scott Free, he said of his release, quote, "This is a travesty. What a shocking development. The 1 year anniversary is looming, but still no real developments. Looks like justice won't be served in this case. Disgusting." Brian's brother said of Lance's release, quote, "I'm very angry about this. I got no notice about this."
What?
Yeah. It's fucking insane. Now, understandably, many feel that action should have been taken sooner. And many feel confused and question why. Why were both of these men allowed to walk free and seemingly nothing more was done to get to the truth of why Brian was murdered? The police said of their perceived lackadaisical approach to the repeated cries for attention, quote, "We don't make entry into houses because someone has made a missing persons report. People have a right to their privacy."
Right, that's bollocks.
I base level, I understand, but you can fucking follow up.
Yeah, yeah. Just to go back, laxy what?
Lackadaisical. They're very lax in their approach.
It's laxidaisy.
What?
It's laxidaisy.
Laxidaisy. That sounds like a brand of laxative.
No, it's like, that's the saying, laxidaisy. It's been very laxidaisy.
Laxidaisy?
Yeah.
Well, lackadaisical is a word. I don't know about that one. I'll take your word for it.
I'm fucking certain it is. Lackadaisy.
I'm not saying you're wrong.
Very lackadaisy.
That seems like a lackadaisical abbreviated.
Well, I've never heard of the word you said.
You haven't heard a lot of words. That means it's wrong. Now, I tell you, somebody wasn't too thrilled about the police's, what do you call it, lackadaisy? Lackadaisy response, you know, that people have a right to their privacy. This was the San Francisco Police Commissioner, Petra de Jesus, was critical, and she said, quote, a wellness check has to be followed up on. What if someone is in there and has broken their hip and can't get up? There has to be a different standard. Neighbours were raising red flags for a couple of months. Those who had contacted police with their concerns all felt that the issue was not being taken seriously. Brian's friend Scott said that when he called the police, they told him that Brian was out of town working on an art project. The police did not disclose the number of calls they received relating to Brian's disappearance and have previously denied a request for body camera footage, stating that, quote, this remains an active and ongoing homicide investigation. But since then, Scott has rightfully stated, quote, the silence has been deafening in this case. Brian's brother has said, quote, I'm very disappointed in the welfare checks and that the system failed. But as frustrated as he may be, Devon has since said, quote, I am not in a position to condemn the police. I don't know if I could do a better job than the police did. There were a lot of mistakes all along the way. If I can forgive Lance Silva, I got to be able to forgive the San Francisco Police Department. We all make mistakes. I mean, fair play to his brother.
Yeah.
For taking that approach. Now, Scott Free.
Yeah.
He was not just a neighbour, but a long-time friend of Brian's. And he decided to launch a fundraiser on Facebook. He called it A Tree for Brian and hoped to plant a tree and erect a plaque in his honour. On the second anniversary of Brian's murder, Scott had hoped to hold a candlelit vigil at Brian's home. But sadly, Brian's home had, by then, become inhabited by squatters, who Scott described as, quote, shady, paranoid and suspicious, and also said, quote, I wouldn't be surprised if they eventually set the place on fire. The year following the murder, Brian's home was purchased for $1.5 million. A bit of a hike from the $19,000 which Brian had purchased the home for in 1976. With plenty of space on the property due to the large yard, the new owners planned to build a five-story, nine-unit condominium complex. Those squatting in the home when confronted had said that the owner was allowing them to stay, but there has been formal complaints lodged about the squatters. Quote, floor is full of needles. Back door was boarded up by a next-door neighbour, but the boards were pulled down the next day. Evidence of bonfire in the backyard. Another complaint mentioned that windows on the house had been smashed, and Scott said that he had also had his mailbox destroyed and his building vandalised. It's just fucking sad as well, isn't it?
Yeah.
This has happened to what was Brian's home for over 40 years.
Yeah.
I think as well, you know, the squatting thing, quite often it's looked at negatively due to people behaving like this. But there are some people who squat because they simply need shelter. They still clean up and look after, you know, they respect the place, you know?
Yep.
On the 11th of September, 2018, what would have been Brian's 66th birthday, friends, family and neighbours gathered in remembrance. Brian's sister Lynn said that she and her family had braced themselves for a wrenching, heartbreaking evening of mourning. She felt that instead, they were surrounded by warmth and laughter by those who had come to pay their respects. The evening was filled with stories of Brian and who he was. Friends displayed paintings which Brian had made for them, photos of a younger Brian taken in the 70s. They recalled the multifaceted person that he was,
Whether that was late nights spent dancing in bars in North Beach, the time he was arrested for growing cannabis, or just the more day-to-day memories of Brian strolling down the street with Lucky by his side. Quote, "He was a wonderful, warm-hearted man. The whole neighbourhood knew him." Even an ex of Brian's from the 70s had shown up with a folder full of old photographs. His ex Mark had actually briefly lived with Brian in this home, and he said, quote, "I was shocked when I heard the news. It's just unbelievable. He was so generous. He was always kind."
I'm sorry, I was listening, but you know when you said about photos, this is something what pops into my head all the time. I don't know what it's going to be like for us when we're like 60, 70 year old. You take pictures on your phone. Now, unless you trust the clouds and stuff, and if the clouds are still a thing, all your photos are gone. Like, you know when I bought that camera, what does the Polaroids?
Yeah.
That's kind of why. You're always going to have them photos. Unless you bin it.
Yeah. I mean, look, digital is amazing. It's brilliant. And you can bring photos back to life and all this shit.
Yeah.
But there's something to be said for a hard copy.
Yeah.
It's more real. It's,
you know, people might be like, yeah, but when you upload it on Facebook, it's there. It's on Facebook. I've lost shitloads of photos. My first social media was Bebo. And I had shitloads of photos on there. Bebo collapsed, left, gone. You can't get that. You can't get on your account. You can't get your photos. Bebo's not a thing. That could happen to Facebook. That could happen to Instagram. That could happen to fucking TikTok, you know?
Yeah, I mean, I agree with you. I think it's nice to, like, you've bought the Polaroid camera to have the actual photo, or if they are digital, go and get them printed off if it's a photo that means something to you and you want to keep it, you know? Just make sure you have it.
Which, that's going to be my next purchase. So I bought the Instax camera. But what I'm going to do is Instax also made, it's basically you put Polaroid film in it and you print, you connect it to your phone with Bluetooth and you print off your photos from your phone as a Polaroid. So any photos where it's like, that's a keeper, need that, then I'm going to print them off.
Yeah.
Sorry, I was listening. It's just when you said about the photos and the ex came with the photo album, and it's like, yeah, we're fucked. If like social media collapses, which it probably should, we're fucked.
I think, you know, just to do with, like I said, Brian and his ex, you know, so often, you know, a relationship breaks down and it's, you know, such a negative thing that you don't want to speak to no one, talk to them.
Yeah.
The fact that his ex from the 70s
is
showing up in 2019 and being like, I still have all of these things, all these memories of this man. I remember being in this house with him, and you know.
Yeah. Oh, she's not married.
He.
What?
He, Brian, was gay.
Oh, right. Okay.
Mark.
What?
I said his name was Mark.
Okay. Well, let's hope
I don't
Mark...
know. Is there any, is Mark ever used in a more feminine way?
No.
No.
I didn't hear you say Mark.
Because you're hyperfixated, well, that's
let's hope Mark isn't married. Because could you imagine being married to someone and then they whip out a photo album, 30 photos of your ex, and it's like, hang on, 30?
20 is where I draw the line.
With the inheritance Brian's brother Devin received, he decided to make donations to both the VA hospital where he volunteered and the American Society for the Prevention of Cruelty to Animals. As Brian was known for his incredible generosity and devotion to helping others, I'm sure he would have approved and have been very proud of his brother. And that is the technically unsolved murder of Brian Egg.
What?
Yeah.
This was going for an end of part one.
No. Unfortunately.
They're still out.
Yes. They're still out. Right. Look, I'm not saying anything. I don't fucking know. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
But if you want to release the people that you'd previously arrested because you don't think there's enough evidence there, whatever your reason is.
Yeah.
Is there any more in the case? Is there anyone else you're looking at? Is there, what's going on? Like Scott said, the silence has been deafening in this case. Stop just saying it's ongoing. It's, you know what I mean, still under investigation.
Yeah.
What is? What's being investigated? And I understand they're not going to release every detail to the public, but I got to be honest with you. I can't tell you much about this case. Like, other than what I've told you here, I don't really feel like I've left something out that, you know, like sometimes you're editing through an episode and you kind of go, oh, is that necessary?
Yeah.
You know, is it going to get a bit too convoluted? No. This is the case of the murder of Ryan Egg, essentially, from what we know.
That's fucking insane.
Yeah. I'm telling you they're getting arrested. Nearly immediately I'm saying they're released.
Yeah.
And like I said, regardless of these two men's involvement, is there anything else? Is there any other leads? Anything else? Nope. Not that I'm aware of.
So did they serve any prison time?
No.
But they had his bank card.
Yeah.
They were spending his money.
Yeah.
They were in his house.
So Robert was released. Lance was held because he had violated his probation.
No,
and then he was eventually released X amount of months later.
No, I remember you saying that. But they'd still committed... Right. If you haven't found the... You haven't got enough evidence to get him on murder.
Mm-hmm.
But you found one in the house. You fucking found one with a bank card who'd bought a fucking car.
Yeah.
This should have got...
Yeah, you think there's something there?
Ah, they're shagging someone.
Something's not fucking right.
Yeah, no. It stinks.
It does.
That's outrageous. This is someone's fucking life.
And it's such an incredibly brutal, disgusting fucking murder.
Yeah.
You know, and the fucking audacity to fucking hire the cleanup crew and all of that, still with his body.
Yeah, I don't like that. I can't get my head around that.
Yeah.
That with a cleanup crew. That's insane.
With Brian's money. Don't forget. They were using his card to pay for it. And like you said very early on in the episode, where's Lucky? What happened to Lucky? I didn't come across anything about the dog after the fact. So.
Like, it's not as if they just never found him, never found the body. Never found him, never found Lucky. So there's a question he could have gone on the run. They found parts of his body.
Yeah. We know Brian has been murdered.
Yeah.
We know there was men coming and going from the property. We know one man in particular was stood there. He was basically kind of like waiting outside for the cleanup crew to finish you know, that's kind of how it was said. Why are you there kind of manning this operation if you're nothing to do with it?
It's fucking insane. I really didn't see the episode ending there.
Yeah.
Oh my God.
Yeah. But I'm sorry, I don't want it to be like abrupt. I don't want it to end abruptly, but
that's
I mean,
how it did.
That essentially, yes. There's not much to say. It's just fucking disgusting. It's unfair. And just... hopefully, at some point, something comes out. Because bear in mind, this was 8 years ago.
Like, it even feels dirty calling it unsolved murder.
Yeah. I mean, really, let's call it what it is. It's the unproven murder of Brian Egg.
Yeah, we'll call it that. Oh, that's bad. I really didn't see it ending there.
I apologize. It was kind of one of those where, you know, I really want to tell the case.
Oh, no, this definitely needs telling.
Yeah, I don't want to kind of leave you with more questions, but I think I have.
Yeah.
But, one that definitely needs more and more attention on, I think.
Like, I wonder, like, I know they were saying about, you know, being professional and keeping it, you know, it's still an active investigation, so they're keeping it to themselves. But what did Lance say when you asked him, well, why have you got his card? Why, how had you got his bank card?
That's what I mean.
Why were you in his house?
There's not even like...
Why are you getting a cleanup crew to clean up a crime scene?
They're not releasing a lot. Like, I'm sure there's been stuff said that we just don't know.
Yeah.
But it feels like someone knows someone.
Shagging someone, exactly. I'm telling you. Yeah.
Why is even their justifications for that
Yeah.
not a thing? I can understand the lack of evidence because so much time had passed and then they had scrubbed the place.
Yeah.
So to actually link them other than your man standing on the drive.
Yeah. Yeah. You get people saying all the time, sex isn't everything. It's fucking is. When someone's shagging someone, they can get what they fucking want.
Well, I mean, not even just that, but just connections, you know, fucking daddy knows someone or have you, you know? Yeah. I would ask you your thoughts, but you've made it pretty fucking clear and I agree with you.
Sickening.
Disgusting.
Yeah.
Outrageous. Audacious. Bollocks.
Heinous.
It is, yes.
So, oddity.
Hand washing. So, you know the way people are dirty bastards?
Yeah.
Did you know that doctors did not routinely wash their hands until the late 1800s?
I can believe that.
Yeah, I can too, to be honest with you.
I thought it'd be later than that.
Well, did you know that doctors that advocated for hand washing were often looked down on or even risked their careers? It's no good, is it?
You wash your hands as a mechanic, for fuck's sake.
Well, the thing is, the practice of hand washing in healthcare does date back much, much further. In 1199, Jewish philosopher and physician Maimonides, he wrote the Mishneh Torah, which included a chapter dedicated to the principles of hygiene. Quote, never forget to wash your hands after having touched a sick person. So that's 1199, you know what I'm saying? But for some reason, others didn't get the memo and it took hundreds of years for it to become common practice.
Ye old dirty bastard. You okay?
Yeah.
What's wrong?
Ye old dirty bastard. Now, enter Ignaz Semmelweis.
A what?
Ignaz was a physician and scientist.
Ignaz.
Ignaz.
Semmelweis.
Semmelweis or Weiss.
Okay.
You are shook over this name. So, like I said, Ignaz was a physician and scientist who was a pioneer of hand washing in medicine. Dubbed the father of hand washing and the savior of mothers, Ignaz noticed that while working in two different maternity clinics in Vienna, there was very different rates of mortality due to puerperal fever.
Dirty old bastards.
Which, if you're unfamiliar, puerperal fever or postpartum infection or childbirth fever is an infection of the reproductive system following childbirth. And this at the time was almost looked at as, you know, just something that can or very likely will happen.
So all placenta and that, all our hands?
It's the, what?
You said about giving birth.
Giving birth, yes.
So someone
no, it's the woman is getting the infection.
Yeah, because some dirty bastard.
Yes, he's touching her without.
Because some dirty old bastard.
Yeah.
Has had his hand on another woman delivering, got placenta and shit all over his hands, and then gone to another woman and stuck it up. And
been there, yeah.
Done that one.
Not strictly from woman to woman.
What? Well, who else is giving birth?
It's a hospital. There's plenty of people
only women
needing
give birth.
There's plenty of people who need to be seen in a hospital.
Oh, so it's not like a maternity.
No, there was the maternity clinics within.
Right.
Now, like I said, you know, it's not uncommon. People almost expected to become unwell or have some type of infection, and so much so that there was women who would rather give birth in the street than in a hospital. Hospitals were seen as like a house of death, an absolute last resort to many.
Yes, I still think that now. I hate hospitals, hate doctors, hate all that shit.
Yeah, but you kind of need to grow up with that. I get being uncomfortable or nervous going to a hospital, but, you know, holding on to this fear for no real reason. You've not had something happen that caused you to have that fear. You haven't had that in your family that has put the fear into you. You just want to continue that narrative.
Right. I haven't really had it here, but like I will take you to hospital. You know, we went to have your mole off. Fucking hate it. It stinks. The whole place fucking stinks. But like, I remember, you know, in Sheffield and in Leeds, them hospitals I've been to, I've walked down the corridor where I've been going to someone else. And you know, when there's a door open, you look and there's a woman there like eighth dead all the time.
But why are they in the hospital?
Head like, back, gob open, and it's like, I didn't need to see that.
Right, at this time, absolutely fair to think that way. 100%.
Leeds Hospital now, stinks of piss all the time.
But that's Leeds.
Okay.
Your face right now is, you said that, not me.
Yeah. You, right.
You're the one who actually came out with the statement. Just, you know,
In Sheffield, I was devastated when I had to start going to Sheffield Elam. I wanted the children's hospital.
I hated going to the children's hospital.
Nah, children's hospital were way better.
So much more depressing.
I think the hospital I were born in, I think it's gone now. I think it was called Jessup's.
Okay.
I think it's gone. But Sheffield Elam, that weren't too bad for an hospital, but it's still a hospital.
It's so funny you say that, because I honestly
just death
find...
death is all around us. It stinks of piss. There's a woman there with a gob open looking like a corpse. Like, people just running around with fucking piss pots.
It is honestly funny to me that you say it, because I find children's hospitals the most depressing place on earth.
Never had an issue. Always in and out.
Oh, not for me. When I was a kid.
I went in with my fucking head split up and... in and out in 20 minutes, half an hour. Done.
It was in a children's hospital that I went around saying that all doctors are arseholes.
Oh.
Remember I told you that story?
Yeah.
When I was about three?
Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, that would be a children's hospital then if you
were
three.
Yeah, it was. Yeah, three, yeah. No, but I think the children's hospital, it's the creepy kind of like paintings on the walls to entertain the kids and all that. And you know, there's kids here who are trying to get treatment and it's...
Oh yeah, because that is way worse than sitting in a normal hospital for adults and you're sitting in the waiting room and it's like, gonorrhea, you could have it on the
that
fucking
wall.
That
doesn't bother me. It is what it is. It is what it is. But when you know there's kids here...
Your dick is going to fall off.
When you know there's kids that, you know, it's so fucking unfair that they're having to deal with this shit.
Yeah.
Fucking anyone, obviously. But, you know, it's a little kid and they're in this depressing fucking place and they just want to be at home or out with their friends. And what is with the paintings and shit on the wall? That's not entertaining a kid. Put the fucking telly on. Put some cartoons on. That's going to entertain a kid a lot more than a fucking teddy bear holding a bastard balloon on the wall.
Look, I would rather look at them paintings and stuff like that than syphilis is real.
No, because I'm going to learn something from that. Do you know what I mean? I'm going to read. I actually do when I'm sat in the hospital. I'm sat there reading all the shit on the wall because I don't know what else to do. But at least that's information. Even as a little kid, those paintings on the wall creep me out. They're weird, you know?
The one what gets me is a dentist, if you're in the waiting room, and they'll have like stuff on the walls, you know, different like notices and posters and that. And there's always one and it'll be like showing you foods to avoid.
Yeah.
Because your teeth and it's like, I've had all that before I've come here today.
The worst is when they do it to like a tin of beans. I know they're full of sugar. Don't ruin it for me.
Yeah.
What are you doing? Anyway, back to Ignis.
Mm.
Ignis racked his brain as to what was causing the high rates of death, and he realised that the medical students who were also performing autopsies were the ones that had exceedingly high rates of maternal mortality.
What?
Basically, the students were going straight from dissecting cadavers to delivering babies.
Oh.
Yeah.
So I went wrong. They had their hand up him.
Well, they were handling corpses.
Yeah.
And then delivering a baby. What you said earlier was they're going from one delivery to another.
Yeah. Well, they're still putting their hand up.
Well, it wasn't a fucking coffin birth, is what I'm saying to you.
Right.
Yeah.
No, but I said hand up them. So when the fondling corpses and that, they'll like...
Fondling.
They'll cut round their head like a bowler rat to get to the brain.
Mm-hmm.
And they cut the chest open and stick their hand in there and and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So they do that. So they have had their hand up someone.
Yeah, but no, you specifically said from one woman to another in terms of delivery.
Yeah, I did.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Why are you arguing?
I don't know.
You just like to see me wound up.
Ignis hypothesized that, quote, cadaverous particles were being transferred between the deceased and the living by the doctors.
That's rotten.
Well, the thing is, as this was before germ theory was put forward, Ignis struggled to explain exactly how and why this was happening. He just knew that something was going on and that something had to be done about it.
I know, because they're not washing their hands. Wash your hands.
No, what I'm saying to you is he knew that there was a transfer, yeah?
Yeah.
But because germ theory wasn't a thing yet, people didn't recognise it.
Yeah.
He didn't know how to explain it. So how do you, you just sound fucking like you're the ramblings of a madman.
Didn't, what about disposable gloves? Why weren't they using the fucking rubber gloves?
They weren't, it wasn't a thing.
They weren't in bare handed.
They weren't, yes. They, and also, if they didn't have running water within the building or heating to heat the water, they would have to go and get the water, depending on their facilities and everything. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So there's a lot of fucking steps in between. So they were just fucking bare-fisting it. Maybe not fisting, I don't know.
Yeah.
Either way, like I said, he knew something was happening and something had to be done about it.
Yeah.
Ignis introduced hygiene procedures, and he did not just instruct, but insisted that they wash their hands with a chlorinated lime solution prior to every examination. Following this application, the mortality rate dropped significantly from 18% to between 1% to 3%.
Good hell.
Yeah, good man. Of course, as with many attempts in history to introduce something for the greater good, it was met with scepticism and outright defiance. And for multiple reasons, doctors did not want to change their previously held beliefs. They didn't want to accept that they had been responsible for so many deaths, and most probably were just too lazy to add an extra step to their routine.
Well, I've got another step to add. You were on about water and hot water.
Mm-hmm.
Fairy liquid. You can't wash your hands with water. You need to have some sort of fucking soap or...
Yeah.
You didn't say that. You just said...
Do I need to tell you to use soap?
No. You don't need to tell me.
You're the one taking issue with it now. I assumed that was, you know...
Well, you, I'm just pointing out, but you only said
that
water.
Was a given. I thought it was a given.
Oh.
Anyway, Ignis stood firm and spent years continuing to develop his theory and trying to gain acceptance from the medical community. Sadly, to his detriment. He became so determined for others to listen to him and be taken seriously that those around him, including his wife, thought he was losing his mind. In 1865, Ignis was committed to an insane asylum, and just 2 weeks later, at the age of 47, Ignis died. And this was likely due to sepsis due to a wound to his hand after having been beaten by the guards. That's a bit of a smack in the tits for him, isn't it?
Fucking hell.
You know what I mean?
They should have washed their hands.
Exactly. That's what, it's a bit of a smack in the fucking tits for him, isn't it?
Very ironic, actually.
That's fucking, it's brutal. That poor man.
That's the definition of ironic. If someone said to me, explain what ironic means, I'm going to tell them this story.
It's unbelievable. And it was only after his death that germ theory was recognised and Ignis was praised for his work and dedication to mothers.
Bit late now.
It's often the way, though.
Yeah.
You know? Also, shout out to Dr. Oliver Wendell Holmes. Around the same time as Ignis, Oliver was also advocating for hand washing in Boston and trying to save women's lives.
And did he get put in...
No, he was fine. He also, you know, in fairness to him, he doesn't get kind of recognised as much because he was also a poet, I believe. So he was kind of known for that.
Right.
And kind of gets a little bit forgotten about.
Yeah.
In his, you know, attempts to save lives.
He should have wrote a poem about it.
He should have done. Maybe he did. I haven't read his stuff.
Oh.
But yeah, there you go.
Ah, that's horrible.
It is. That poor fucking man.
Yeah.
You know?
We're just a horrible fucking race, aren't we?
We're terrible. We're awful.
Like,
I tell you another thing, I'm a hooer for washing my hands.
Yeah, it's disgusting, like, how much you do it.
To a fault. My hands are so fucking dry.
Yeah.
They're fucked.
Yeah.
Not you, though. You're a very dirty-handed person.
What do you mean?
You're very dirty-handed, like, you just...
No.
You always got stuff on your hands, like.
I do not.
You do.
Like, if you're cooking something greasy and I go into the kitchen, I have just fucking grease everywhere. You're touching everything.
But I'm still in the middle of cooking.
But you clean your hands in between stages.
And end up with hands like you. No thanks.
Yeah, but at least my hands are clean. Ignis will be proud.